Okay, so this is the newly posted Inman documents right now, so I'm reading those. So this says digital asset transactions when Howie met Gary Plastics. There's been considerable discussion recently in the press and at legal conferences regarding whether digital offers as a security can over time become something other than a security. I think framing the question that way might miss an important point, which I hope to make with my remarks for today. To start, I think a better line of inquiry is, can a digital asset or token that was originally offered in a securities offering ever be sold later in a manner that does not constitute an offering of a security? In cases where the digital asset or token represents a set of rights that give the holder a financial interest in the enterprise, the answer is likely no. In these cases, calling the transaction initial a coin offering or ICO or a sale of a token won't take it out of the purview of the US securities laws. But what are those cases where there is no longer any central enterprise being invested and where the digital asset or token is sold only to be used to purchase a good or service available through the network on which it was created? I believe in these cases, the answer is a qualified yes. I'd like to share my thinking with you today about the circumstances under which that could occur. First, I'd like to start with a little background on the new world of digital assets. Most of you are no doubt quite familiar with Bitcoin and know of blockchain distributed ledger technology. And as I've come to learn, which may be most exciting about this technology, is the ability to share information, transfer value, and record transactions in a decentralized digital environment. Well, what does that mean? Payment systems, supply chain management, intellectual property rights, licensing, stock ownership, transfers, and countless other political applications can be conducted electronically with a public immutable record without the need for a trusted third party to verify transactions. Using these new networks, one can create a digital information packet that can be transferred using encryption keys. These packets are sometimes called coins or tokens and can be obtained through mining, distribution, sale, or by exchange by users in the network. Some people believe these new systems will forever transform e-commerce as we know it. There is excitement around this new technology and a great deal of speculative interest. Unfortunately, there's also many cases of fraud. In many regards, it is still the quote early days. But that is not what I want to focus on today. I'm here to talk about how these legal coins and tokens are being issued, distributed, and sold. In order to raise money to develop these new systems, promoters often sell the tokens themselves rather than sell shares, issue notes, or obtain bank financing. But in many cases, the economic substance is the same. Funds are raised with the expectation that the promoters will build their systems, and investors can earn a return on the instrument, usually by selling their tokens in the secondary market. Once the promoters create something of value with the proceeds, the value of the digital enterprise increases. This is the non-public draft, page 11 to 18. That was page 2. Okay, it looks like that is all there is, just those two pages. But it says 1 through 4. Oh, so this is an email between William Hinman and Michael P. Seaman, who's a government something, and CC Gary Goldschull and Heather Sedil and Berghoff and their government from, and this is from Brett Redfern. Hi, Bill. We have a three key comments, also see attached for digital asset speech. It's a great speech, but we think a few points could help make it stronger. Primarily, we think that upfront it would help if you added a disclaimer that the remarks focus on the 1933 Act. As written, the language remains vague as to whether Ether is a security. If you want to make an affirmative statement that is not a security, the language could be stronger, i.e., just say it. If you don't want to take an affirmative stance, we suggest using language similar to what you use for Bitcoin. Read the disclosure regime to make it more consistent. Otherwise, it is unclear why Bitcoin references the disclosure regime and Ethereum primarily references resale activity. On page 8, when talking about implications under the federal securities laws, when an asset is considered a security, we would appreciate it if you also would add there are a host of issues being addressed by our divisions of trading and markets and investment management, including broker-dealer exchange and fund registration, as well as matters of market manipulation, custody, and valuation. These are the key issues for us that we want to continue to emphasize when possible. Please let me know if you'd like to discuss, Brett. So is there one more? They said there was 4. So, nope, that's the first one. Oh, the first one just said the exhibit number. Okay. So let's go back to this. Okay, so this is page 5 through 8. This says page 3, but it's the start. When we see that kind of economic transaction, it's easy to apply the Supreme Court investment contract test for announced in SEC versus Howey 3. As you remember, the test requires investment of money in a common enterprise with an expectation of profit derived from the efforts of the others, and it's important to reflect on the facts of Howey. A hotel operator sold interest in a citrus grove to its guests. The transaction was recorded as a real estate sale together with a service contract. In theory, purchasers could arrange to service the grove themselves. In fact, the purchasers were passive, relying largely on the Howey service company's efforts tending the assets for a return. In articulating the test for an investment contract, the Supreme Court stressed, form is disregarded for substance and the emphasis is placed on economic realities. So the purported real estate purchase was found to be an investment contract, hence a security. In the ICOs we have seen, overwhelmingly, promoters tout their ability to create some innovative application of blockchain technology. The investors are passive. Marketing efforts are not targeted narrowly and rarely just to potential uses of the application. And typically at the outside, viability of the application is still uncertain. At that stage, the purchase of a token looks a lot like a bet on the success of the enterprise and not on the purchase of something used to exchange for goods or services on the network. As an aside, you might ask, given that these token sales often look like security offerings, why are the promoters choosing to package investment as an ICO or token offering? This is especially a good question if the network on which the token or coin will, this is page 4, function is not yet operational. I think there can be a number of reasons. For a while, it was believed such labeling might, by itself, remove the transaction from the securities laws. I think people now realize labeling an investment opportunity as a coin or token does not achieve that result. Second, while this labeling might be hoped to bring some marketable sizzle to the enterprise, that might still work to some extent, but the track record of ICOs is still being sorted out, and some of the sizzle may now be more of a potential warning flare for some investors. Some may be attracted to blockchain-mediated crowdfunding process. Digital assets can represent an efficient way to reach a global audience, where initial purchasers have a stake in the success of the network and become part of the network, where their participation adds value beyond their investment contributions. Related to this, it is possible that once a network is sufficiently decentralized or the token or coin is used predominantly to purchase goods, transactions after that point would not be securities offerings. While I recognize that possibility, as I will discuss, whether a transaction in a coin or token on the secondary market will amount to an offer of sale or security requires a careful, in fact, sensitive legal analysis. I believe some industry participants are beginning to realize that in some circumstances, it might be easier to start a blockchain-based enterprise in a more conventional way. In other words, do the initial funding through registered or exempt equity or debt offering, and once the network is up and running, distribute or offer blockchain-based token or coin to participant who need the functionality the network and the digital assets have to offer. This allows the tokens or coins to be structured and offered in a way where it's evident the purchasers are not making investment in the development of the enterprise. Because returning to the ICOs we are seeing, strictly speaking, the token or coin or whatever the digital information packet is called, all by itself is not a security, just as the orange groves in the Howie were not. Central to determining whether a security is being sold is how it's being sold and the reasonable expectations of the purchaser. When someone buys a housing unit to live in, even when represented by an instrument called a stock, it's probably not a security. When the housing unit is offered with a management contract or other services as an investment, it can be seen as a security. Similarly, when a CD, exempt from being treated as a security under Section 3 of the Securities Act, is sold as part of a program organized by a broker who offers retail investors promises of liquidity and ability to profit from changes in interest rates, the Gary Plastics case teaches us that the instrument can be a part of an investment contract that is a security, and so with digital assets. The digital asset itself is simply code, but the way it's sold as part of an investment to non-users by promoters to develop their idea can be, and in that content most often is a security, because it evidences in an investment contract. And regulating these transactions as security transactions makes sense. No, you've got it all fucking wrong, I think. The impetus of the Securities Act is to remove the information asymmetry. The impetus of the Securities Act is to remove information asymmetry between promoters and investors. In public distribution, the Securities Act prescribes the information investors need in order to make an informed decision, and the promoter is liable for material misstatements in offering materials. These are important safeguards, and they are appropriate for most ICOs. The disclosure marries nicely with the Howie investment contract element about the efforts of others as an investor, the success of the enterprise, and the ability to realize a profit on the investment turns on the efforts of the third party. So learning material information about the third party, its background, financing plans, financial stake, and so forth, is a prerequisite to making an informed investment decision. Well, that's stupid, because you don't know what they're going to do in the future. You're just guessing. Unless the third party is compelled by security laws to disclose what it alone knows of these topics and the risks associated with the venture, investors will be uninformed and are at risk. No, we're at risk from Gary Gensler. But this also points the way to when a digital asset transaction may no longer represent a security offering, when the efforts of the third party are no longer a key determining factor for the enterprise's success, material information asymmetries recede. Moreover, as the network becomes more truly decentralized, the ability to identify an issuer or a promoter or make the disclosure becomes difficult and perhaps meaningless. And so when I look at Bitcoin, I do not see a central third party whose efforts are a key determining factor in the enterprise. The network on which Bitcoin functions was operational and appears to have been highly decentralized from its inception. Applying the disclosure regime of the federal security laws in this situation would seem to add little value. And putting aside the fundraising that accompanied the creation of Ether, based on my understanding of the present state of Ether and the Ethereum network and how it operates, regulating the current resale activity we see in Ether as a security transaction would not appear to further the policy objectives of the federal security laws. Well, fuck, isn't that what Ripple's doing? Doesn't make any sense. Over time, there may be other significantly decentralized network where regulating the tokens that function on them as a security may not be required, Ripple. And of course, there will be continue to be systems that rely on central actors whose efforts are a key to the success of the enterprise. In those cases, application of the security laws protect the investors who purchase the coins. You guys suck. Just what you didn't know. You don't just suck a little bit, you suck completely. As I've tried to point out, the analysis is not static and the nature of security does not adhere to the instrument. Even digital assets with utility in existing ecosystem could be packaged and sold as an investment strategy that can be a security. If a promoter were to place Bitcoin in a fund or trust and sell interest, it would create a new security. Similarly, investment contracts can be made of virtually any asset, including virtual assets, providing the investor is reasonably expecting profits from the promoter's efforts. Let me emphasize on an earlier point. Simply labeling a digital asset a utility token does not turn the asset into something that is not a security. True, the Supreme Court has acknowledged that if someone is purchasing an asset for consumption only, it is likely not a security. But the economic substance of the transaction determines the legal analysis, not the labels. The oranges in the Howie had utility. Or my favorite example, the commission warned in the late 1960s about investment contracts sold in the form of whiskey warehouse receipts. Promoters sold the receipts to U.S. investors to finance the aging and blending processes of Scotch whiskey. The whiskey was real, and for some had exquisite utility. But Howie was not selling oranges, and the warehouse receipts promoters were not selling whiskey for consumption. They were selling investments, and the purchasers were expecting a return. We expect issuers and market participants will want to understand whether transactions in a particular digital asset involve the sale of security. We are not trying to play regulatory gotcha. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. And now you try to gaslight me. We are happy to help promoters with their counsel work through these issues. No, I already heard about you guys. You don't answer anybody. You suck. I just know this next line is going to be a lie. I'm already knowing it's going to be a lie. I don't even want to switch the paper because I know it's going to be a lie. And I just know that the next words out of this thing is going to be a lie. Okay, here we go, page 8. We stand prepared to provide more formal interpretive or no action guides to market participants. I knew it was going to be a lie about the proper characterization of a digital asset in a proposed use. I knew it. I knew it was going to be a lie. I just knew it. In addition, we recognize that there are implications under the federal security laws of a particular asset being considered a security. Yeah, we need to lock up Gensler. Where is that law? There are a host of issues being addressed by our divisions of trading and markets, and investment management, including broker-dealer exchange and fund registration, as well as matters of market manipulation, custody, and valuation. We understand that industry participants are working to make their services compliant with the existing regulatory framework, and we are happy to continue our engagement in the process. Oh, your engagement. Oh, the one where you just ignore everybody, and then as soon as they ask for help, you go, ha, here's a lawsuit. Yeah, you're very happy, I bet. What are some of the factors I just can't even believe I said that. What are some of the factors we would look into assessing whether a digital asset is offered as an investment contract and is thus a security? Primarily, we are looking into the role of a third party, whether person, entity, or coordinated group of actors. Well, you have that right, coordinated group of actors that drive the possibility of a return. The question will always depend on the particular facts and circumstances, and this is illustrative, not exhaustive. Is there a person or organized group that has sponsored or promoted the creation and sale of digital assets, the effort of whom plays a significant role in the development and maintenance of an asset and its potential increase in value? And two, has the person or group retained a stake or other interest in the digital asset such that it would be motivated to expend efforts to cause an increase in value in the digital asset? Would purchasers reasonably believe such efforts will be undertaken and may result in a return in their investment of the digital asset? Does a promoter continue to expend funds from proceeds or operations to enhance functionality and or the value of the system within the tokens operate? Here we go to page 9. Are purchasers investing and seeking a return? In that regard, is the instrument marked and sold to potential users of the network for a price that reasonably correlates with the market value of the goods or services in the network? Does application of the Securities and Protection Act make sense? No! is there a person or entity others are relying on that plays a key role in the profit-making of the enterprise such that the closure of their activities and plans would be helpful to investors? Do informational asymmetries exist between the promoters and potential purchaser investors in a digital asset? No. Why don't we talk about Gensler's connections with Clinton and how this all plays into this? As a promoter raised an amount of funds in excess what may be needed to establish a functional network? And if so, has it indicated how these funds may be used to support the value of the tokens or increase the value of the enterprise? Do the decentralized persons or entities exercise bona fide voting rights and meaningful control, or are they limited, including by another person or organized group's powers? Yes, the SEC. In the meantime, are there contractual or technical ways to structure digital assets so they function more like a consumer item and less like a security? I believe so. Again, these are certainly not get-out-of-jail-free cards, and we would look at economic substance of the transaction, but promoters and their counsel should consider these and other possible features. The list is not intended to be exhaustive, and by no means do I believe each and every one of these factors needs to be present to establish a case that this token is not being offered as security. The list is meant to prompt thinking by promoters and their counsel and start the dialogue with the staff so we can flip a lawsuit on you. And it's not meant to be a list of all necessary factors in a legal analysis. Thank God, maybe the courts will come in and stop these crazy men. Is token creation commensurate with meeting the needs of the users, or rather with feeding speculation? I don't know. Is it clear that the primary motivation for purchasing the digital asset is for personal use or consumption compared to the investment? Can tokens be hoarded, or are they distributed in ways that meets the user's needs? For example, does the token degrade in value over time, or can it be held or transferred in amounts that correspond to the purchaser's expected use? Are the assets dispersed across diverse user base, concentrated in the hands of a few that can exert influence over the application? Have purchasers made representations as to their consumptive as opposed to their investment intent? Is the purchaser supporting the secondary market for the assets, or are the independent actors setting the price? No, the independent asshats from the SEC are stopping this whole thing. Is the application in early stage development or fully functioning? It's working in other countries. Is the asset marketed and distributed to potential users of the general public? Yeah, when they pay for it. Are the tokens available in the increments that correlate with the consumptive versus investment intent? I have no idea. These are exciting legal times. No, they're not. And I'm pleased to be a part of the process that can help promoters of this new technology and their counsel navigate and comply with federal securities laws. No, all you're doing is making a big mess out of everything is what it looks like to me. Okay. Thanks, but where are the actual emails? This is a speech, right? Are these real? I wonder how many people waited desperately for these reels just to now realize TLDR. I hope everyone realizes how correct you are with this shit. Where is the other documents? So this one is a screenshot. Motion for summary judgment document filed by Bradley Garlinghouse, Christian Doc judgment. So there's a judgment on it. The heck?
Which one are you reading?
I don't know. The screenshot that you said you screenshotted yourself.
Oh, yeah. So, 1 second.
So if you actually,
if you load the docket, you can see that they're already loading the documents for the summary judgment already for today. But yeah.
So does that mean? Is it over?
No, the summary judgment's going to be available. They're releasing the emails right now. If you keep scrolling, the last exhibit, there's the emails already been not leaked, but they've already been made public. So if you go to the very bottom and click on that Twitter post, you can start reading those emails. all the different exhibits. So yeah, it's already started coming out. Very implicating, let me tell you.
These guys are criminals.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, that was what I was
100%.
reading. That was all the thread I was reading, but I don't know where the rest of them are.
So
Oh,
if you scroll
here.
to the bottom.
Oh. What? Yeah, I'm.
Oh, yeah, continue on, and then you'll get to the very bottom. You'll start reading the emails from the threads.
Oh, geez. Well, here's Wolfie in between.
Hi guys, it's Wolfie here, guys. It is Tuesday night, guys, and I'm just a bit tired, guys. So it's been a long day, and I'm working from 7 and got home late, so anyway. Don't want to be talking about what I wrote there, but I needed to say something because that went viral. And, you know, I always stood up to my guns. I'm not a tall guy, most people know, but I will.
Oh, shoot. Dang it. I got excited and I was looking at this and I blanked out. Wolfie, hold on.
I hope it's real. But the message that I also received actually from Wales, that from South America, they're highly connected as well. And they're all in the same timeline, right, for this week, right? And even Michael Rubin actually said that it's beginning to look like it's going to happen this week, right? And as you know, Charlie actually agreed on the intel actually a few days ago. And then you got Mark said as well. So guys, let's just remain positive, right? And keep our faith. This needs to happen, right? It needs to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, well then we're stuffed. We're going to live in a dark world, right? And one of the things I do say is that when I do receive intel from anyone, I always say, I really hope so. I really hope so. Thanks for sending me this, and I really pray that this is true. But I never actually say to anyone, you're a liar or anything like that. I just said, I hope it's true, and I bless you, right? And that's the way I am, right? Because I'm a very positive guy. I remain positive. I need to remain positive. I can't be negative. Right, I know we're sick of the sequence of the bullshit or the disinformation. I'm sick of it as well, but I need to be positive. For you guys, I need to be positive, right? There's no use actually saying to you guys, no, it's a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie, no, and all this because it's putting you guys down, and I'm not giving you guys hope, and I'm also not creating or telling stories to you guys.
Yes, you are.
All right, so that's why. Anyway, guys, let's hope and pray that this happens, right? Hope maybe today, right? But it was told actually it is tomorrow. We should be expecting some news. All right, so let's pray. You know, hope you get those bloody notifications. The notifications need to come out. All right, guys, look after yourself, guys. And I do apologize if I did lower those vibrations to you, but like I said, I need to stand up for myself. Thank you, guys. God bless. Bye-bye.
Tomorrow, tomorrow. Okay, so what's this next one say? SEC is a criminal organization. Ooh, snap. All right. They pointed out to Hinman that what he says about Ethereum contradicts the rest of his speech, arguing for more Ethereum being actually a security. We still have reservations about including a statement directly about Ether in the speech, even with the caveats in the sentence. It seems that it would be difficult for the agency to take a different position on Ether in the future. Further, the rest of the paragraph strongly implies that the thinking applies to ether. Without the sentence about ether, those implications might generate a useful reaction about ether from purchasers in those in the fintech space. With the sentence, the reaction seems less likely to focus on the analysis, but more likely to focus on the potential fallout about making a statement about Ether's strategy as a security. The day Gary Gensler decided to destroy crypto. ACZ, I should be an advisor to Binance. Love what you degens are cooking up. I can totally help you with your compliance issues in the US. No. Come on, man. Let's at least meet for lunch and talk about it. Fuck no.
That's funny.
You are
hey, perfect. Really quick for you, Parker. Let me clarify one thing. So that statement you'd read earlier, so the true security would be Ethereum, right? And I'll quickly summarize. XRP came before Ripple, meaning the technology came before the organization. So there's no possible way that the organization sold that as security. Does that make sense?
Oh,
the technology
I
already
did not
existed.
Know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's major.
And Ethereum... Yep. And Ethereum, Vitalik Buterin, the founder of Ethereum, right, formalized the company, Ethereum, created the token Ether or Ethereum, and sold that as an ICO. Lubin, Jay, and all these guys are board members of like Consensus and all these other for-profit organization. Yeah, it's a whole corruption. Watch. People's minds are going to be blown. So the one company that they gave a free pass to was the actual security. And the one that they try to go after, it truly isn't the security.
It
so they truly
reversed.
Fucked up on this one.
It is reversed. It was all about Ethereum and the pump that followed and made Hinman and his mates some life-changing profits. He knew after his speech to leave SEC and no one can hold him accountable. Going into casino roulette, knowing Goopier roll the zero and you go all in because you know him. Yeah, they're repeatedly saying in TV interviews that the law is pretty much clear. But then in the emails, they tell Hinman to change the language to keep it vague so they don't get locked into any particular guidance. There was a petition
exactly
for Gary to resign, but we need to press charges and also investigate exactly who he's serving, because it's certainly not the crypto industry. Look, Hinman doing his dirty deeds with millions in his back pocket. Arrest that criminal. It's the still part that gets me, meaning that they have advised him more than once that Ether should be taken out, but he was persistent to keep it in. It says it all. This is ETHgate. Holy shit. What are the potential consequences for Ethereum? This could be devastating. Okay, Charles, so ETHgate is real. I lost a bet, dude. Is this a beautiful statement of dishonesty or what? I'm glad to see XRP rocket to 53 cents this morning because of this. Is that true?
Yep. Hey, think about this really quick. I'll leave you with this. I got to jump. Bernie
no,
Madoff,
it's
right?
Getting better, Brian. Don't you dare leave.
So Bernie Madoff, right? Bernie Madoff ripped people off billions of dollars, right?
Yeah.
Think about it this way. Person in a position of authority to manipulate the market of investment, to put money in their pockets, they're no different than Bernie Madoff because they're sitting in an appointed position, if that makes any sense.
Whoa.
They're no better than Bernie Madoff is my point.
Whoa.
And they should be held accountable
Wait. Madoff is in prison.
That's my point. They should be held accountable to the same extent. They should be accountable to the same extent. That was the purpose of saying that. And that it doesn't matter if you're an individual representing a firm ripping people off, but more so a person representing the head of a decision-making body or authority and you manipulate a market.
Did Madoff
take
money
from other people? No, I'm saying these guys, all of them at the SEC, the SEC, of course, Madoff ripped all those people off of money. The point is that they did it, but from a political stature, by making up these rules and wrecking investors and partnering and doing deals with Ethereum and Vitalik Buterin and making money. That's the same as Bernie Madoff. They should be sitting in prison. That's my point.
I did. I'm floored right now. I didn't know that him and
ETHGate's been a thing. It's been a thing for years.
I've now heard it, but I didn't know what it was. I'm sorry, Brian. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. ETHGate's the thing, and it's coming out now. You're going to see all the emails and all the communications and all the meetings and all the shit. I mean, I'm excited about today.
So Bill Hinman should be arrested. Shouldn't he?
100%, absolutely.
They're not going to arrest him, are they? You think they'll arrest him?
Well, here's the thing, Parker. It's about accountability, transparency, and accountability. That's what needs to occur, like ASAP.
Man. Did you expect this to come out with these emails?
Oh, absolutely. I've seen some of these emails. Not all of them, but obviously, you know, like whatever was available. But yeah. But I've lived in the space forever and a day. So I'm familiar with the conversation. I know.
That's why I'm asking you. You have the background knowledge.
Yeah, so it doesn't come as a shock or a surprise to me is my point. But people are going to be floored to your point or your statement earlier.
I'm pretty floored.
People thought, ETHGate, it's a conspiracy. What are you talking about? Not knowing the history of the company and the technology and who's who and the names and so forth. And
I guess I don't know what or who Hinman actually was.
Gary's position. He was the chair of the SEC before Gensler.
So did he quit?
I think he moved on or resigned or but something along those lines, and Gensler took over.
Well, if he's guilty of manipulation the market by his comments, which I'm saying it kind of sounds like that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, he was the former director of the SEC. Yeah, so think about it. If the former director of the SEC makes these statements to wreck a market, absolutely he should go to prison. Are you kidding me? Where he benefited from it? Yeah, so like I said, he was the director of the SEC.
I had no idea it was that big. Holy Toledo. Oh, this is going to rock people today. This is
so,
going to blow
so, them so Hinman was the director and Clayton was the chair. Sorry. So Hinman was the director. Jay Clayton was the chair. So it's coming back full circle. Full circle.
So Clayton's guilty too.
Say again?
Clayton is guilty too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Did he make money?
They all made money. They all made money. This is the whole ETHGate thing. They all made money.
Bastards.
Not saying you or I personally, but you know, like the typical corrupt individual, what if you were the person to make rules? And you had an opportunity to give clarity to something that you're holding millions, if not billions of dollars worth of Ethereum, for instance. Why wouldn't you say something else as a security and give that one a free pass if you weren't already holding on to it, or family members were already holding on to it?
Wow. Corrupt as hell.
Mm-hmm. But I got to jump. I look forward to today. I'll be back on shortly.
Thanks, Brian.
You're welcome. Take care, everyone.
Dang.
Today has been a very important day for crypto thus far already. And let me tell you, some of the things that have come out are pretty crazy. For example, a lot of new things have been filed in the Ripple versus SEC lawsuit. But also, in terms of macroeconomics, things are getting pretty crazy. We've got later today the inflation numbers in the US, and then tomorrow we've got ourselves the FOMC meeting. And of course, today is also the day where Binance delists the dollar, where the William Hinman documents supposedly are going to be coming out. And like Miles here shares, it's actually been pretty crazy over the last couple of days as a concept. Hong Kong legalizing crypto, basically. UAE and UK pushing crypto a lot with A60Z, a major fund, moving over there. Russia's Sberbank offering crypto trading. In general, basically around the world, things are pretty nice, except for in the United States. So what's been happening today, I'll tell you in this video. But first, make sure you press that like button. Let's try to get this video to like 750 likes. You get absolutely nothing except for my gratitude and happiness. First of all, new filing document 828. This is in the Ripple lawsuit. From Ripple's counsel, the defendant, so which means Ripple, Brad Gollinghouse, Chris Larson, opposition to the SEC's motion for summary judgment, 90 pages. And then a little bit later, some updates. There are two more in addition to this newly filed, document 825 and document 827. And then a little bit later, she also shared SEC versus Ripple and the rest. This link will take you to the page where all the new filings are appearing. So far, six new documents have actually been filed today, as you can see right there. It's a pretty big deal. Straight up XRP, you can't see it, but he right here said, just going to have a quick little read. It's only like, 10,000 pages. And also something that I think was quite interesting is this. I'll show you in just a second. But throughout this video, I'm going to be showing you more things that are happening right now as we speak. As I said, things are pretty crazy. And guys, a little bit later today, I'll be releasing another XRP video. The problem is I recorded it yesterday and I put the wrong date for the upload. And today things are too crazy, so I can't upload it yet. So first of all, the SEC chairman, Gary Gensler, apparently makes the U.S. government look corrupt, according to public opinion. Now, let me know your opinion down below. Do you believe in Gary Gensler? I don't know who does, but let me know down below. Also, a couple things. First of all, John Deaton is going on like a madman. So there's something which is interesting to me, the fact that they always call crypto a scam. Yet, when you seriously take a look at it, right, when you really start diving deep, the banking system not like actually way worse? JP Morgan prepared to pay $200 million, actually 290 million, in settlement with different victims. I don't want to go too deep into that, but it is very interesting if you ask me. Then like people have been diving deep, and this is to me really, really nuts. If Gary looks slim, it's because he's been eating nothing but his own words since 2018, and this is all the way back then, right? And I'll show you this in a little second. Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. Why did they name those four? They're not securities. Funny that Ethereum is in the midst, right? Even though right now all these coins are going after are proof of stake coins. And I mean, if you're going after Polygon and you're leaving Ethereum alone, I think that's quite peculiar. Three quarters of this market is probably not securities, is what he said back then.
Over 70% of the crypto market is Bitcoin, Ether, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash. Why did I name those four? They're not securities. Three quarters of this market is probably not securities.
Did we just hear that correctly? Did literally SEC chairman, who now says that like 99% of the cryptos, most of them are securities, that most of them are not? What? Again, we can sit here shouting for days that this man has just got such, this is so crazy to me. How can this, But that's, I guess, why right now they're calling out for him to be fired. That was a crazy video we posted earlier today. Because, again, in my opinion, he should be fired. He literally should be. There's no other way around it. But like I was saying, today's a big day. And yesterday we were shouting that tomorrow was going to be a big day. But even today we're saying tomorrow's going to be a big day. I know I'm speaking fast and a lot of things in between each other. But let me just say, this entire week is so filled with all miscellaneous sorts of news, all miscellaneous sorts of updates. And it's mostly because of the SEC's doing. So John Deaton said big day tomorrow. Again, he said this 12 p.m. Malaysia time. Perhaps for him, it's actually still the previous day. I'm not sure how far behind they are. But as you can see, hearing on the motions to seize Binance's assets in DDC, we have an update on that, so stay tuned. Release on Hinman docs in the SDNY, Southern District of New York, regarding Hinman. The SEC's response to order Coinbase's petition in the third, sir. Not every federal court date is eventful in crypto, but tomorrow is. May God bless the U.S. courts. Damn right. Plus, apparently, the Trump arraignment. So things are just wild, not only in crypto. One thing that's also quite peculiar is that basically Gary Gensler is speaking against himself many times. All altcoins, just like Bitcoin, are simply digital code existing inside software. We helped force the SEC to admit that in the Ripple case, which is once more why the Ripple case is so critical. Yet, right here, just like Judge Castell said it twice in the Telegram case before, like, people are starting to put all these things together, which is why I keep saying XRP is in one of the best positions ever, because right now Binance, Coinbase, everybody is fighting because they went too far. They went too far, and right now it's going to bite them all in the ass. That's why I'm so extremely bullish. I still personally believe, guys, that the bull market is back, but we have basically not gone on the like exponential tangent just quite yet. What I mean with that is, even though the biggest dip for crypto has already been seen, we might not see the all-time high for like more than a year further, and we might see another couple of dips, but I just don't think we're gonna go further down than 14,000-15,000 or so, right? The bottom is in, so the bull market has started, but it will only feel like the bull market potentially in a couple months from now. In their memorandum in opposition, this is again Meta Lawman, who's been critical over the last couple of days. He said this: in their memorandum in opposition to the SEC's motion to freeze, order lawyers for Binance US cite this damaging congressional testimony from Gary Gensler. All right. After he was confirmed to his post as the chairman of the SEC, Gensler testified to Congress a couple years back that the SEC does not, and again, critical, does not have authority from Congress to regulate crypto exchanges. Yet what exactly are they doing now? Trying to regulate crypto exchanges. It's that crazy.
I do think that working with Congress, I think it's only Congress that could really address it. It'd be good to consider if it was.
I thought Congress fired the
guards. To consider whether to bring greater investor protection to the crypto exchanges. And I think if that were the case, because right now the exchanges trading these crypto assets do not have a regulatory framework. At the SEC or our sister agency, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, that would instill greater confidence. Right now, there's not a market regulator around these crypto exchanges, and thus it's really not protecting against fraud or manipulation or a conflict.
So he basically also confirms that right now there's no framework, yet he goes after these exchanges for not properly registering. But I could say once more that Coinbase could always say, well, we tried to write these things with you together. We tried to sit down, but you always said no because things were clear. Yet he clearly states just only 2 years ago that right now nobody knows what the frick to do because nobody's there to oversee everything, if you understand my drift. And again, that all this will bite the SEC in the ass. Things are getting crazy up here, guys. Right now, because of the SEC's recent action against Coinbase and Binance, they basically make themselves another 150,000 enemies or so, with all these people that can research, all the people that can look up, and it's just, oh, it's nearly impossible right now for the SEC to stay the way they are. A lot of you guys were saying, man, if Gary Gensler gets fired, another puppet will take his place, and I agree. So we need to make sure that the moment he's gone, that things actually change, which is the hard part. Getting Gary Gensler out of office is one, but making sure that the rules that are better, that's the difficult thing. On the side, I'm not sure if I should be releasing another video later today talking about the William Hinman emails. I guess potentially I might make a video outside, as right now, again, I'm in Malaysia here, and I'm going to go out for some fun stuff. I don't want to, you know, sit in the office or my home here the entire day. And, you know, I kind of think we only have to make an urgent update depending on what.
Yeah, I'm done. Hey, I'm going to go get some sleep. I will be back later. I've been up all night. So. Sounds like things are rolling. I just need to get a couple hours. I'll be back soon.
All right. Thank you.